Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's AEW NXT Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the highlights of both AEW Dynamite and NXT at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Let's first start by saying that we're going to take a little bit of time to examine who has actually been handling this COVID-19 crisis, this pandemic, better when it comes to their federation. Has it been NXT or has it been AEW? And it's a very interesting question because AEW is a fledgling company who hasn't had years and years and years and years and years of experience. Not that anyone has really had any kind of an experience like this that they had to deal with, obviously, but still, it's the difference between an upstart federation with very little experience dealing with any sort of crisis, if any, and WWE, who has dealt with over the years several major crises, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see your opinions as well as get our own about who's been handling this better. Before we get started with the AEW and the NXT highlights, a couple of newsworthy items. First one is Curtis Axel, Joe Henning, released from the WWE yesterday. Now, this is, as far as I can tell, totally separate from the releases that happened last Wednesday. I know some names have trickled out that actually happened last Wednesday, like Cain Velasquez, that just didn't somehow make the news. And some people have been reporting them as separate releases, when in fact, no, they all went down on Wednesday. This one I do not think did. And the WWE has offered up a very unique thing, saying if you're unhappy here or you would want to request your release, now's the time. Basically, if you're not happy here, within reason, I mean, they're not going to let Seth Rollins go, but within reason, if you're not happy here, step up, you'll be given your release. I don't know if Curtis Axel did this. I don't know if Curtis Axel stepped up and said, I'd like my release. It would seem likely because I thought the releases were done, except for that caveat that if you're not happy, you can come and get your release. So I would imagine that that's probably what happened, and you can't really blame the guy. He wasn't just being misused. He was just not being used, period. Terribly, terribly handled on the part of Curtis Axel. WWE on the part of Curtis Axel, I should say. Was he the most charismatic guy in the world? No. But I got news. You've got a lot of guys out there that you're pushing way, way harder that have little to no charisma. He got over with the B team. He got over with a couple of things he did. He certainly proved that he could work a gimmick if you gave it to him. And again, I think this is a part of a restructuring on the WWE's part, in which they realized we snatched up all the talent in the world. We weren't using half of it. We were just paying people to basically not wrestle for other federations, and we can't afford to do that anymore. If these other federations want to take these guys and make them superstars, go ahead and give it a shot. But we're not going to be holding them anymore if we personally feel we cannot. Now, will this make WWE stronger in the long run? It might. It actually might, because what it's going to force them to do now is to use the people they have, which is the one thing the WWE for the last several years has not done. There are people on the roster who are given next to no chance, next to no time on TV, next to nothing to do, and basically their job was, you don't wrestle for anybody else, you collect a paycheck. You're the bench player that never gets called on. Now the bench is pretty small, and they're going to get called on. And you're already seeing it. They're already starting to use Apollo Crews when they weren't going to really use Apollo Crews for much of anything. They're already starting to use Ricochet more when he was on his down slide, obviously on his down slide. Cedric Alexander, when they really weren't using Cedric Alexander. Akira Tozawa is on almost every Raw now. Doesn't win, but he's being used. So what this is forcing the WWE to do is say, we're going to have to use the guys we got. We can't afford to have 45 people sitting on the bench and call one every five or six shows. Can't afford it. Now, do I agree with all the releases? Absolutely not. Some of these people could have been utilized in a much bigger, much better way, and you're going to live to regret some of these. I truly believe that. But the after effect of this is that you are going to have to use who you have now. And to an extent, that's got to be a positive thing, at least for the people who remain. Now, the second piece of news is that apparently Sami Zayn has told the WWE he does not wish to go to the Performance Center and do any of the TV shows or the TV tapings until this coronavirus thing is over with. There, you notice we hadn't seen Sami Zayn, but then Sami Zayn had tweeted that he had some dental work done and he wasn't in some pain and eating pudding and just about that's it. And for that reason, we just assumed, okay, well, he's not going to be around for a week or two. But now word has come out that he's told the WWE doesn't intend to show up until this thing is kind of clear. Well, he's the Intercontinental Champion. So this is a problem. And the WWE's already taped everything until after Money in the Bank. So you're not going to see the Intercontinental Champion in any way, shape, or form until after Money in the Bank, which is outrageous. And this is kind of indicative of what happens to the WWE when you flagrantly throw your belts around and just give them to anyone. There's also some word coming down that we will bear no ill will if you decide you don't want to wrestle during this coronavirus pandemic. Statement was made. We're now hearing that maybe that's not 100% true. Because while Roman Reigns was persona non grata and they said do not mention his name because we're waiting for the big surprise, you know, when he comes back. We want people to kind of forget and just, oh my God, Roman Reigns is back. And that's legitimate. If the WWE said, okay, let's make, you know, applesauce out of cow crap, the very best thing to do is don't mention Roman. Let the fans sort of just forget about that for a little while. And then when he comes back, it'll be a big deal. I'm for that. I think that's a good idea. But now weird things are happening. Like if you go to their Make-A-Wish page, Roman Reigns' name is not on it. Roman Reigns' pictures are not featured. None of their media at all. Okay, you don't want to mention him on the program, but none of their media now is mentioning Roman Reigns, none of them. Even charity things like Make-A-Wish, like I said, no longer has Roman Reigns' picture up front. They went back to John Cena. So that's a little weird. And it makes me wonder if this isn't some sort of a warning to Roman Reigns. That, okay, we understand you had leukemia, you need to sit out for a while, But let's not make it a long while, because if it's a long while, we have ways to erase you from the memory of not only the fans, but from the entire Federation. And I hope that's not the case. I really do. Now, people will say, well, why is Sami Zayn in a different position than Roman Reigns? If Roman Reigns can skip out, Sami Zayn can skip out. Yeah, Sami Zayn can skip out if he wants to. If Sami Zayn has a legitimate reason for saying, hey, I have a weakened immune system, or I don't want to risk it, he has the right to. But the WWE, as a company, then has the right to do exactly what they did with Roman Reigns and say, okay, well, then you can't be the champion, because we need our champions here. And let's face it, Sami Zayn does not have the worth to this company that Roman Reigns does. So Sami Zayn stirring the pot and Roman Reigns stirring the pot is two very different things. And Roman Reigns' battle with leukemia was very public. The fans immediately took his side on it. Hell, I immediately took his side on it. I said, if I'd went through treatment for leukemia and my immune system is at such a weakened state due to that treatment, if you think for 1 minute I'm risking this when I got a pregnant wife and children at home, you're insane. You're insane. And he was absolutely right to do it. But if your only motivation at this point is, no, I don't have a weakened immune system, but I do choose to stay home because I'm worried about my health, so are all the other wrestlers, and they're showing up. So that doesn't send a great message. If you have a legitimate reason, such as Roman Reigns, great, fine. If you don't, then it makes you look a little bit like, well, I don't care if Andrade wants to go out there and risk his life. I don't care if, you know, X, Y, and Z want to go out there. I don't have to. Well, doesn't really make you one of the boys then, does it? Not to mention the fact that we're starting to see signs that this is probably nowhere near as lethal as we first thought, and nowhere near it. There's so much misinformation out there now that I could fill a show and never mention wrestling one time about how much misinformation on both sides. On both sides. There are people saying it's not even real. Well, it is real. People have died of it. There are people saying, well, you know, it's going to kill a million people. No, it's not. There are people saying, oh, it's in the air. You can't even breathe. Oh, no, it isn't. Or you'd all have it. A mask isn't going to stop. That would get in your eyes then. They say, oh, don't touch your eyes. Don't touch your face. Okay, well, if the air hits your fingers and you rub your eye with your finger, then you got it. How come it's only attacking mom and pop stores? How come it's not attacking Walmarts and Targets? Don't open your store, but Walmart and Target can, because I guess the coronavirus is afraid of Walmart and Target. And a lot of this does not make sense. And the problem is that we don't know. So we're hearing from the doomsayers that it's the end of the world, it's the Black Plague, it's the Spanish flu, and we're all going to be collecting the bodies in wheelbarrows to bury on hills. And then you hear from the opposite side that this is a manufactured disease that absolutely 100% hasn't killed anyone, and everyone is just falling victim to the flu or something sinister and horrible. Neither side has proof of that. But what we do have proof of is that life went on for people in Walmarts and Targets and post offices and police officers. And while some of those people did get it, life still went on, and we didn't get tremendous death rates from it. If you're spending 8 hours of your day every day, 5 days or 6 days a week at a Walmart working, and you're not down with it, I guess I'm okay to go in there for 20 minutes, no? So that's the Sami Zayn situation. Well, I don't know. Andretti doesn't have it. Angel Garza doesn't have it. Austin Theory doesn't have it. The Street Profits don't have it. Aleister Black don't have it. They've been fighting every week. So if they don't have it, there's a really good chance you're not going to get it either. So anyway, this is where we stand, folks. We stand with the WWE releasing people that are requesting it, apparently, and some people saying, I'm not going to come back until the coronavirus thing is over. Well, here's a newsflash. If you listen to some people, they're saying, well, this is going to come back every year, just as deadly, just as whatever. Okay, well, then I guess you're no longer a professional wrestler, Sami Zayn. You can hang up your boots. You can't wrestle anymore. Roman Reigns, same thing. I guess you can hang up your boots. You're not going to be able to wrestle anymore. Your immune system will not allow it. This is just cold reality then, huh? If one's cold reality, the other's cold reality. If the cold reality is this is a new norm, it's going to keep coming back, then the people who can't wrestle because of their compromised immune systems are no longer qualified to be professional wrestlers and they have to retire. That's all. It's a shame, but okay. Well, then that's the way it is. Because at some point you either have to move forward or regress. Because standing in place never solved anything. Anyway, Mike, this is where we stand right now.
It is where we stand, and the thing about that is you've got these guys that don't want to wrestle now. Granted, there's different tiers of this, and you just mentioned that. Sami Zayn, whom they're not really using yet. Yeah, he's the Intercontinental Champion, but there's better ways of using somebody as talented as Sami Zayn. You may not like him very much, or you may not think he's as talented, but he is a talented guy. And, of course, a guy who can be the face of your company, and it would piss me off if I'm Vince McMahon or whatever. And, you know, and if that's the case, then you've got a guy in Roman Reigns who's absolutely the face of the company, you know, and that doesn't want to be there. But like you said, you got Nakamura, you got all these people, you got on the women's side Bayley and Sasha and all these other people that are continuing to show up. That are continuing to do their job. And I guarantee you, when you're not going to see this happen with, you're not seeing it happen with NXT, you know, all the guys are showing up. And when AEW starts to go live again, you may not agree with it, but when they start to go live again, then you're going to see all their guys show up. So these guys that aren't showing up, you know,
it's going to be tough, Mike, because here's the way you got to look at it. If you're saying to me, I'm waiting until there is no more deaths from COVID-19 before, and everything is clear and we have a vaccine, you're not going to wrestle for a year. A whole year. And on top of that, I still want to remind people that we have a vaccine for the flu every year. People still die. You can go get vaccinated against the flu, and how many deaths from the flu are there every year? 30,000, 40,000 in the United States? It's not 100%. You can take the vaccine and still die of the flu. So are you waiting until there's no deaths from the flu? Are you going to wait until there's no deaths from pneumonia? You're getting in your car and going out on the highway every day. Are you going to wait until the highway has zero fatalities? There's always a risk. There's a risk when I go take a bath that I might fall asleep and drown. There's a risk when I get in my car that I might get into a car accident. There's a risk when I walk down my stairs I might fall. At some point, you have to minimize that risk and say, I'm willing to take it. There's a risk when you step into a professional wrestling ring. Every time you step into a professional wrestling ring. So while this COVID thing was running wild and no one knew what the hell it was and how dangerous and how deadly and how severe this was going to get, and people were on the news saying 1 million to 2 million people will die, I can understand and sympathize with people saying, I ain't wrestling, and I'm the one who said it. I said, well, then don't wrestle at all. Close wrestling down for a month or 2 months, whatever you got to do. Don't put their lives in danger. But then common sense would dictate that if the mail is getting through and the truckers are getting through and Walmarts and Targets and grocery stores and liquor stores and garages and every other form of just about anything you can think of, hardware stores, they're all open. And I'm not hearing 10 more dead in every single Walmart today. Your local Walmart suffered 10 more deaths today. We're hiring more people because they're shoveling them out the door in body bags. Then that would be a huge, huge problem, wouldn't it? It's not happening. It's not happening. So as more and more of this goes on, you begin to realize, okay, maybe this is highly contagious. But so is the flu. Maybe it's okay, maybe it's twice as contagious as the flu. So maybe I'm going to get it, but maybe I'm just going to be sick for a week. Maybe this isn't fatal. Oh, I've got it, I'm dying. That's it. That's not the way it's panned out to be at all. Not at all. And usually in the world, you quarantine the sick and the healthy go out. This is the first time I've ever seen them quarantine the healthy. Would it not make more sense to say if you're elderly and you have compromised immune systems, or you're young and you have compromised immune systems, or you have asthma, or you have COPD, or you have emphysema, or you have lung issues, or whatever it happens to be, you guys should stay indoors. You shouldn't be going to Walmart. You shouldn't be going to liquor stores. You shouldn't be going to grocery stores. Find somebody else to shop for you. But if you're healthy and you don't really have any symptoms, even though I know they're going to say some people are asymptomatic, okay, well, that's fine. But if there's nobody to infect that is in the high-risk zone, what's the problem? Yes, be cautious. Wear your gloves or wear your mask if you want to, or if they demand that you do. But at some point, life's got to move on, folks. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get to AEW. AEW this week went on with their tournament, and they had, of course, the big Dustin Rhodes, Lance Archer match, which was, again, proof positive that Dustin Rhodes not only has found the fountain of youth, apparently, but psychologically in the ring, Dustin Rhodes is probably one of the top 15 to 20 wrestlers in the world. He gets how to tell a story very well, maybe better than most. And he's excellent at what he does. Also, the AEW corrected their situation dramatically with the women's division simply by giving Britt Baker a new... Is it new? Well, it was almost like what they wanted to do to begin with, and they screwed it up, and then they got it back. But it's sort of new, sort of this new gimmick, and it's very good, and it's working very well for her. And this has legs. This one can really take off if they run with it and fully realize its potential. So those two things, I think, Todd, were the highlights this week of AEW.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Britt Baker thing of AEW, sort of her new gimmick. They revealed her personal assistant thing in her dentist's office. Right? They had a Rebel from Impact Wrestling.
Right, right, yeah. Yep. It's very good. I think it's a very strong It's a very strong gimmick, Mike, and it has a lot of marketability, I think.
I think so, too. And you know, if she can carry this off, I mean, this is going to be one of these things that's going to automatically make that women's division much, much better, you know. And it's sort of a heel gimmick and all that stuff, but that's neither here nor there. It's a better gimmick for her. And look, I just want to say something in terms of the ratings and the wins and stuff. When I watch on Wednesday night, there's a true way to find out how good everything is. You know, is which show do you decide to turn on? You know, generally
right.
I decide to turn on AEW first. You know, and that's no joke. I do. I turn on AEW first. I go back and I watch NXT, but I tune into AEW first, you know, and it shows up in the ratings. Now I'm looking at the ratings, and look, there are a lot of parts of these ratings that NXT doesn't even show up on, you know, things like female viewers, male viewers, viewers in general. I mean, they don't show up in any of the ratings, and then AEW does. So yeah, I mean, think about it. Which show do fans tune in to first, you know, if they tune into them at all, you know? That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, at this stage of the game, you're having your tournament over there, which is obviously they've done a good job of creating interest for that. Cody Rhodes obviously beating Darby Allin in an excellent match. And you see the way they set things up. They set things up that not only does Cody advance, but so does Lance Archer, who beat his brother. So this sets up more of a dramatic feel, which is something well done by AEW. Whereas the WWE always feels sort of anticlimactic. I mean, it's through no fault of their own. They can't do the travel. So I guess they're going to have to abandon the Finn Balor and Walter thing. They've kind of thrown that to the wolves. They've had to abandon the Pete Dunne thing because he can't get over here. There's a lot of stuff that's really not their fault. But at the end of the day, AEW has plugged along. They haven't had too many people cancel on them. Yes, a couple said they can't make it from various places. But their mainstays have all been there. So AEW doesn't feel like a show that's being patched together because we're having a pandemic and there's a lot of stuff that can't go on. They feel more like, well, it's the same show. It's just a little different because of the pandemic, but all the characters are still here. That's what makes the difference. And that's why I think AEW is handling this situation a slightly better. And they're starting to get a little bit of ahead of the curve on it. Now, let me be perfectly honest. Would I go to a wrestling match right now and sit shoulder to shoulder with someone? No. If they opened it up tomorrow and said, everybody can go watch wrestling, here's a free ticket, I'm not going. Not because I fear necessarily getting COVID. Because I honestly think it's probably just going to make me sick for a week and then I'll be fine. But because I don't want to bring it to anybody else who might not be fine. You know, I don't want to say, well, I got it, and then in my travels to wherever, I gave it to some old woman who didn't stay home, and she's in a critical condition. I don't want to do that. But at some point, we have to realize that, yes, life has to go on. And I think that in Orlando, they're realizing that, and they're saying that by June, you can have audience. Maybe not a full audience, but you can have an audience again. AEW is taking full advantage of it. Obviously, WWE will take full advantage of it. And I'm not sure it's the wrong thing to do, folks. At some point, you can live your life in a cave or you can accept some risk. And again, I just want to point out quickly, anytime you walk drive, bicycle, whatever you do, there's a risk. Every flu season, there's a risk. Do not for one moment think young people do not die of pneumonia. I had a very dear friend at 28 years old, and she died of pneumonia. Nothing else, not COVID, not some horrible disease we didn't know, pneumonia. It happens. But living in a bubble is not the answer. Being cautious and waiting until we know more information about this, that is a fact. Because no matter how you look at this, folks, no one knew what happened. If we believe all the reports, and I'm only going by what I hear, if this thing started in a laboratory in Wuhan, China, or in a meat market in Wuhan, China, the bottom line is China didn't tell anybody. And so how do you believe anything they say? So when they finally say, well, this was just a virus because somebody ate a bat, maybe they're lying. You lied about it being widespread. So maybe you lied. Maybe it was some kind of manufactured nonsense that you were going to drop on protesters in China. Who knows? So we had to err on the side of caution in case you lied again. And this was some kind of manufactured, you know, whatever. Until we figured out what the hell we were dealing with, erring on the side of caution is not the worst thing in the world. Now we are no longer really erring on the side of caution. Now we are becoming obsessively scared about if one person dies, this is unacceptable. Well, one person's going to die today during this show. They're going to die of a heart attack. They're going to get in a car crash. They're going to have an accident. They're going to die of some other disease. It's going to happen. And we can't live in a bubble and say, oh, I'll just stay here until my time comes. And then you have no life. So let's slowly start to get back to it. Let's say we're only going to fill every fifth seat for a while, if that's what we have to do. Or every third seat. Whatever we have to do, folks, to make people feel comfortable again, because you've scared people now. The government's response to this has scared people. It's even scared professional wrestlers. And now we don't know. And the scariest part is we don't know. I see people, when I go out to a supermarket, I see people running down aisles to grab things. Let me get in and out of here as quick as I can. I'm positive that the COVID virus is hanging on every shelf in this store. It's in the very air I'm breathing. I'm risking my life, but I have to have food. And they don't even realize when they get in their cars and tear off their masks and gasp for oxygen, there's 45 people in that store is going to be working in there all day. Touching everything. And they ain't getting it. So you have to calm down a little, because fear solves nothing. So yes, I am ready for things to start to get back to normal. Living in a bubble is over. Anyway, over on NXT, well, they went with Keith Lee versus Damian Priest. This, despite the fact that I still think Keith Lee is one of these guys who will eventually be one of the top people in the world of professional wrestling, period, he's not a big enough draw right now to take any of the shine away from AEW, and neither is Damian Priest. So they tried with Charlotte Flair against Mia Yim. That's not going to work either. Because no one in their right mind thinks for one minute that Charlotte Flair is going to NXT to lose to Mia Yim. So, unfortunately, NXT's in a bad position. WWE's done all their tapings now until after the Money in the Bank. And NXT's in the bad position of, we don't really have anything too major going on that we can continue with that's going to draw people. You had Finn Balor versus Walter. People were very interested in that, but that can't happen now you had a thing going on with Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne that people were interested in that we thought was going toward probably a blood feud, but you can't do that now. There's a lot of things you had on your table that just got yanked right out from underneath you. And now the rebuilding process has taken a while, and you're even afraid to pull the trigger on Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream because you don't know where this Velveteen Dream thing is going to go. And that's exactly why I said this Velveteen Dream thing is so egregious, and they need to get past this or decide what they're going to do with this right away, because this is holding you up. If it wasn't bad enough that the COVID thing is wiping you out, now you've got a big question mark about will Velveteen Dream be here or will be in prison? So this is a problem. So yes, AEW handled this a lot better. They've been a little tentative, but they're a new company. First they said, well, we're just going to do live shows. We don't care. And then they said, maybe not. Maybe we will tape. Maybe it is better. And then they said, no, we're going to do live. They went back and forth a few times, but that's to be expected. They're a young fledgling company. They weren't sure what to do in this time of crisis, and they went with their gut. And they changed their mind a couple times. See, the difference between AEW, I think, and WWE is AEW is not egotistical enough to refuse to change their mind. If they go down a path and they say this wasn't probably not the right decision, then they're perfectly fine with saying, I think we might have screwed up. We're going to do this instead. WWE refuses to do that. Once they pick a path to go down, if that path is the most destructive, self-destructing a path possible, too bad. We're plowing through it because we're right and that's all there is to it. We cannot possibly be wrong. That's the difference. And Mike, that's what probably is going to come back to bite them in the ass here.
Yeah, and think about this. I'm now starting to again see stories about rumors about Vince McMahon possibly wanting to sell the WWE. You know?
Yeah.
Now, do they have legs? But I don't know. But yeah, you're right about it. And look, I think the best thing that probably came from NXT this week was the new heel gimmick for Candice LeRae. You know? I like it. I like her new look. I like her new gimmick. I think it's gonna do well with her, you know? For her.
Yes.
Her as a face. She had run her course as a face, all right?
Yeah.
Never got a chance to win the title as a face. Maybe with this new gimmick, maybe she has a shot now to possibly work her way into the title hunt and get the title. So, yeah, I like the new gimmick.
It's very possible. And we also got to talk about, I know that some people wrote me and said, you're absolutely right, Drake Maverick won. Very unusual that he'd win on his way out the door, isn't it? Something's wrong there, folks. If you want me to believe that the WWE saw Drake Maverick's Instagram video and felt sorry for him and said, we reconsider because we feel sorry for you, then I'm sorry to tell you, you're talking to the wrong guy. You're talking to the wrong guy. This is the company that released Mike and Maria Kanellis. Maria Kanellis is ready to burst with a baby, and Mike Kanellis has no place to work because there's no place he can work, and they've released them both. Same way with Kurt Hawkins' wife. She's pregnant. She can't work. He can't work now, and they released them. So you mean to tell me that all of a sudden they said, oh, you know, that Drake Maverick made a very nice video. Maybe we'll reconsider on him. I don't believe that. So now I think we're left with two options. One is that they're just using him as much as they can before he goes out the door. But if they do, then they're idiots because they've made him look good. He beat Tony Nese. Since when do you make somebody look like a world beater on their way out the door? Since when do you give somebody such a sympathetic and relatable character on their way out the door? So if he loses and they just part company with him, I don't know why you built him up to get rid of him, but okay. Second option is they never fired him. And he was told to go ahead and make this video and try to get some sympathy for an angle. And if that's the case, I'm pissed. Because you don't take a real life angle where some people are saying, I'm not sure what I'm going to do for a living at this point, and turn it into a gimmick. Because that's not funny. But Todd, certainly something's going on, because the WWE does not make you look good on your way out the door.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the other releases, like I remember when Dean Ambrose got released from the WWE, they put your best endeavors, but he didn't make a video. He was out the door after that.
Well, not only that, but what did they do with Dean Ambrose? They had him lose to EC3, who hadn't really won and done anything, and they were fixing to have him lose a mixed intergender match to Nia Jax to make him look bad. So, yeah, I mean, that's the way the WWE operates. Matt Hardy got beat by like a dog by Randy Orton twice on his way out the door. That's how they operate. You don't win your second match in the title tournament. I'm sorry, Mike. I said I smell a rat before, but the stink is getting worse.
Yeah, I smell a rat. And I mean, look, it's almost as if they saw that video and they're trying to make, they saw that video on Instagram, which you probably can, yes. And I said, oh, we can make something of this. We can make an angle of this. You know, it's almost as if they did that. And it'd be the first time they'd done it. Cause, I mean, remember the whole thing with Zack Ryder and the Internet Championship or whatever it was? They never made anything of that. You know, there's several other things that happened with the Outcast. Some of the people in Social Outcast on social media never made anything of that. So this would be the first time they did it, but it'd be, I don't want to say a smart move, but it'd be an innovative move to do that. But at least for the WWE, it'd be an innovative move for them to do that. So, I mean, if they're doing that, if they're making something of this video, because they know everybody, a lot of people would have seen that, would have seen that video, right? You know,
yeah.
I have an Instagram account. I've seen it. You know, so people have seen the video, and it's a smart move to try and make something of it.
See, but I don't know if that's why. If I was convinced that that's what they did, I would feel better. But then you're asking me to believe that the WWE has sympathy for someone. Oh, what a heartfelt video. Well, what about the heartfelt post that Kurt Hawkins' wife made that said, I'm pregnant. I can't work. I was worried about my husband coming home with COVID. Now he doesn't even have a job. And I'm not going to be able to work for I don't know how long. He can't go out in the indies and do anything because everything's closed down. What about Mike and Maria Kanellis, who's both saying, well, she's pregnant and ready to drop. She can't work. I can't work. What about them? So I don't believe they have any sympathy. I think it's much more likely that they planned that whole thing. And if that's the case, that's cold-blooded, man. We'll know, because next week, if Drake Maverick wins and somehow he gets in the finals, if he wins his tournament, obviously he's staying. And if it's decided he gets his job back, someone's going to put a microphone in his face, or someone's going to spill the beans and say this was all a gimmick to begin with. And if it was all a gimmick to begin with and he never really was fired, I'm pissed. Because I don't think that's fair to everybody else who really was fired. I think the WWE is too smart to reveal that, though. They're going to say, oh, no. Even if it's the case, they're going to say, no. No, we thought that, you know, we saw the video, like Mike said. We saw the video and said, maybe we can make something out of this. So many people have watched it. Maybe we can get something out of this, and he ain't making that much money. Maybe we'll re-sign him for a lower price or whatever. I still say that's going to happen, by the way. Wait till this thing starts to break, and it's going to break in June. When this thing starts to break, do not be too surprised if WWE makes lower offers to some of the people that they let go. Not the ones who didn't want to stay, like EC3 or Rusev. They're not going to make offers to them. But some of these people might get another chance at the pie, so to speak, at a reduced rate. Because you see, what they were doing is they were giving people like Heath Slater and Curt Hawkins a large amount of money. Larger than anybody else is going to give them. To just stay away, really. And if they're going to do that anyway, they might as well take a shot at it and say, look, we can reduce your salary by 25%. You can stay with the company and we'll try to use you more because we got less people. Maybe that'll work for somebody. Maybe it won't. I don't know where this is going. So who won the night? I think it's very clear that AEW won the night. I don't think it was close this week. AEW had a lot of drama in it. It had a couple of excellent matches. It had some furthering of the women's division and a few branches on the tree, and it really has made the Cody Rhodes-Lance Archer match seem like a big match. Which is incredible, considering that no matter how you look at this, and I'm not in no way being smug toward Cody Rhodes. I've met Cody Rhodes 2 or 3 times. Nice guy and a very, very talented wrestler. But in the grand scheme of things, Cody Rhodes is a mid-carder and destined to stay in the mid-card. He was a guy who didn't have that much of the look. He had a decent ring, you know, presence, good skill set, decent on the mic, you know, but not special. And all of a sudden, you put him in this situation with a Lance Archer, who just got here, by the way. Lance Archer just got to AEW. And already, you're in a match where you say, this feels important. This feels like a main event. That is good booking. Taking over. And remember, many times on the show I said, give me two people. I don't care what two people. Give me two people and a month or 6 weeks. And I'll make it feel like a main event. I don't care who they are. Well, AEW understands that. WWE does not. WWE thinks we got to pull out a guy that already has legit cred or he's not a main eventer. We got to pull out a guy who's done that. No, you don't. Anybody could be a main eventer because all you have to do is get the fans to buy into, we want this person to win and we don't want that person to win, and that's their main event. In other words, you could have all the Cain Velasquez's versus Brock Lesnar's you want. If nobody cares who wins or loses, that's not the main event. And I could have Curt Hawkins versus Zack Ryder in a blood feud of the ultimate betrayal of two friends who were friends since high school. And the fans would be chomping at the bit for one or the other to win, whichever one you wanted them to root for. Because they care. See, that's where the difference is. Big names is one thing. But fans caring about who wins and loses, that's more important. And I think AEW understands that probably better than the WWE, Mike.
Right. Think about this. Look at the AEW roster. Before AEW, whoever heard of MJF? Whoever heard
right.
of Darby Allin? And those are two of the top guys. They're two of the main. Yeah, you got Chris Jericho, and you got what's his name? Swagger who at some point they're going to put a championship around. You can see that coming. Yeah, you got those two guys and Dustin Rhodes, who's an aging veteran, but a veteran who can still get it done and all that stuff. But look at all the guys they built up, and this new gimmick for Britt Baker is sort of a main event gimmick as well. So
yes.
They're doing a great job with not only but not only the people, but the gimmicks as well, the characters. When was the last time we said that about the WWE, about doing a great job with characters? Yeah, you got the New Day, and those are characters. And you got the Usos, and those are characters. But those are tag teams. But I'm talking about with their singles guys. There are guys that you could, I mean, yeah, you had a pretty good gimmick with the social outcast that you never did anything with. The Rusev Day gimmick that you took away from us, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that they did that they took away from it. And this and back to AEW, think about it. This thing, they're making this TNT title seem like a big deal. They're making it seem like more than just an honorarium for the network. They're making it seem like it's going to be their second title, you know, their second, you know, their belt just below the
right.
AEW championship.
And, Mike, what's even more important is if you watch the Dustin Rhodes-Lance Archer match, I'm telling you that if it happened in the WWE, the WWE's philosophy would have been Lance Archer has to destroy Dustin Rhodes in a minute and a half. No offense, mostly by Dustin. Then we're going to have him get beat up even after the match, and he's going to call out Cody, and Cody's going to have to come and haul his half-dead brother away. And you say, well, that's dramatic, but the way AEW did this, they told a better story. And the story they told was, no, Dustin's a veteran. You're not going to squash him. Nobody's going to squash Dustin Rhodes. But that was a longer – in some ways it was. In other words, what we saw was Lance Archer dominated most of that match. Dustin fought back because he's a veteran and he's going to fight back a little bit. But what it made it look like is Lance Archer beat someone. It wasn't cannon fodder. So that makes Lance Archer seem more dominant, that I actually beat someone who fought back a little bit, a guy who is a worthy guy. In other words, if the only people you beat are people that look like anybody in the world could beat them and they don't get in one punch, it's not like you beat anybody. So no one really is amazed by that. You can have one or two squash matches with enhancement talent, but then you got to work your way up. And you've got to be able to show I can overcome adversity and still win. I don't have to squash a guy to win because I have talent. WWE too much says, well, these guys squash people until they get in there with somebody halfway decent and then they can't win. And the message they're sending is that's because all they beat is nobodies. AEW sent a message on Wednesday night that Lance Archer beat a somebody, and that's more important, Mike.
That is the point. And think about this. This helps when we see Jake Roberts again, and he's doing his usual good job on the mic. There are branches on that type of tree that Jake Roberts, through words, can go down. You know.
Yeah, they're going to make Lance Archer big. I mean, what they're doing right now is they're creating the atypical, well, I should say not the atypical, but they're creating the perfect heel. And they're doing it well. And they're doing it correctly. WWE has lost the ability to do that. Todd, I think by beating someone like a Goldust, well, Dustin Rhodes, and not having it be a total squash, but literally saying, well, but it was pretty dominant, you get a better impression of Lance Archer. It's not that, oh, he beat Dustin Rhodes because Dustin's a nobody. It's no, Dustin is a somebody. He fought back as hard as he could and couldn't win, which actually makes Lance Archer look tougher.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the Lance Archer and Dustin Rhodes match, I thought it was a pretty good match too. And, you know, it gave Dustin quite a bit of offense to try to fight off Lance Archer in the match. It was a good match right there.
And I think it makes Lance Archer look better that there was some offense by Dustin. I've never really understood. I understand the squash matches when it's someone you don't know. When you just say, in this corner, Joe Smith, and you're like, okay, Joe Smith is getting killed. But when it is someone who we've seen win, and you use it in a squash match, even if, like, it was a Zack Ryder or Curt Hawkins and they just got squashed, I always said, why are you doing that? You're just devaluing the guy. It's a former tag team champion. Let him put up a little bit of a fight. At the end of the day, it's going to make the other guy look better. Now, you can't let him get too much offense. You can't say, well, Curt Hawkins was kicking his ass through 85% of the match, and then he pulled a little trick and won. Well, no, then that doesn't work. But that's not what AEW did. At the end of that match, my feeling was, wow, Lance Archer beat a very game and a very experienced guy. Not too easily, but not too hard either. And that means he's going to be somebody. That's just the way I think that's supposed to work, Mike, and I think they nailed it.
Right, they did nail it. And think about this. We even got to see Dustin pull out the whole shattered dreams, you know, that the whole thing where he puts him on the turnbuckle and kicks the turnbuckle and appears
yep.
that he gives him a nut shot and all that stuff. And
yep.
and they allowed Lance Archer to kind of no-sell that thing.
Yeah,
you know?
It did.
That would have been a finishing maneuver. Back when Goldust first showed up, that was a finishing maneuver. That was a finisher for him at that
yeah.
time. So, yeah, I like that.
Now, not everything in AEW this week was great. There were some flubs in AEW this week. There were some definite downhill moments. But overall, I'm going to give this show a B+. I think that there were good branches on the trees. I love what they're doing with Britt Baker. I love what they did with having Cody and Dustin in the same tournament, because we could have potentially, I guess, seen Cody versus Dustin, and that would have been okay. But we kind of knew it was going to be Lance Archer, but still, the dramatics of, well, he beat his brother, and now he's got to beat, you know, him, works for me. Overall, I thought this was great. Again, Jericho on commentary did a great job. So I'm going to give it a B+, Mike. What's your thoughts on AEW?
I got to give it a B+. And like you said last week, Jericho has a future as a commentator. He
yes.
really does. He really does. And at some point, they're going to have to find, you know, he may transition it, you know, soon or whatever to that. And at some point, if they're going to keep this Inner Circle thing going, they're going to have to find a new leader. And
I think something's coming with that and Sammy Guevara. We'll see where that's going. I think something's going to happen with that. I don't think it's going to be right away. I think Jericho's going to be in the ring and wrestling for the next year or so, maybe even more. But eventually I think we're going to see Jericho transition out of that, and he's certainly got a future, whatever he wants to do. Todd, what's your rating on AEW this week?
I got to give it a B+.
Okay, so there we go. I'm going to stick with you now, and you can give me your NXT rating. What did you think overall of NXT this week?
I'm going to give it a B-. It was all right.
Okay. So Todd's going to give it a B-. Mike, what's your thoughts on NXT this week?
I got to give it a C+, even though I did like the whole thing they're doing with Candice LeRae.
Yeah, I like the Candice LeRae thing too, but I'm with you. I think it's one grade below. I think it's a C+. I think you put your eggs in a basket of Charlotte Flair, and nobody really cared about that. I don't really think Damian Priest is going over the way you think he is. I just there's nothing about him that screams the character you want him to play. I just don't understand that. I do think, however, Keith Lee is going to be a huge star. The Adam Cole thing would have been better in the whole Undisputed Era if Pete Dunne had been around. There was a lot of stuff in there that just felt forced to me. So I think a C+ is about the best I can give it. I think AEW won the week very clearly this week, and we're going to see what happens tonight on SmackDown. We'll be back here on Sunday to talk about it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.